Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
3, 2, 1.
Do you know what I feel like doing?
Starting a fight?
Of course. I feel like kicking back, relaxing, and getting comfy. Welcome to the Get Comfy Podcast. I'm your host, Kalo, as always, here to give you the lowdown on all things that are ready to rumble, and I'm joined by my co-host.
What up, guys? It's the disappointed man himself, the negative Nancy, the man from downhill. Am on the mic.
So before we get into today's pod, I'd like to say thank you to anybody and everybody who is liking and sharing this podcast with anybody and everybody you know.
Thanks, guys.
So before the podcast starts, I want you to acknowledge me as the reigning, defending tribal chief of this podcast.
Listen, how
you mocked me. You said there's no way. You said no shot that Cody win the Rumble.
No, it wasn't no shot. Like, it was predictable. And you know how usually WWE doesn't go for predictable if they know who's going to win it. And I was like, they're not going to do it. They're going to have a number one contender match at the Elimination Chamber. I didn't think they were going to go predictable with it.
Fair. But what about Rhea?
Rhea, once I knew it was number one, she was like, she's winning it. I even texted it to you. I'm like, Rhea's number one. She's winning the whole thing. But let me say, you were wrong about one thing about Rhea, her challenging for Bianca.
Yes. I understand there's a lot of story there with like Rhea and Charlotte.
Yeah.
But you know, hey, like that's going to be a good match regardless. Is she going to drift away from the Judgment Day because aren't they on Raw?
I think the draft is at the main.
That's right. And they can just switch the titles because that's a thing. Yeah. But we're getting too far ahead of ourselves. I want to first start with, like, in my opinion, it was the best moment of the Rumble pay-per-view, and it wasn't even a match. It was Pat McAfee coming back to the announce desk, and Michael Cole and Corey Graves not knowing that Pat was going to return, like, and what you've seen was a genuine reaction from both of them, and grant you, like, Corey is the heel commentator, so he's kind of like, but like Michael Cole's reaction, it was great.
It's so great to see Michael Cole actually enjoy his job while commentating. Yeah. It's like a nice chase of, because we all know the story. Nick Foley told us, like, man used to yell at people in the headphones and everything like that. But to see this man, this 50-year-old man, joy, happy to see his friend and his commentating partner to come back was really. It put a smile on my face.
Yeah, and he did an interview on the Pat McAfee show, like, this past week, and he was saying, like, you know, when that moment happened, because, like, you've seen Pat's music hit, and Michael Cole didn't have a reaction. He said he thought it was just, like, somebody coming out, like, as number one, like, whatever. And then he's like, hold on, like, that's Pat, that's, like, he's coming back. Crazy. It was such a good time. But yeah, it was just a great reaction. Great time.
It was kept close to the vest too. Like, no one knew about him coming back.
Exactly, which is like the best parts. Yeah. So I guess in sequential order, the men's Rumble was up first.
Was it the worst Rumble? No. It continued storylines with the Judgment Day with Edge coming back, Ray Dom taking Ray out, all that. I just hated the lack of surprises that we got in this Rumble. We got Booker T, yeah, it was his hometown, his school and all that. Logan Paul, who wasn't even a real ACL tour, it was something else, but they still played off of that.
3-3 MCL.
Yeah, it wasn't even real MCL. Who else was the return?
Brock?
Well, no, Brock we knew.
But, like, it was, like, those things. Like, if you didn't say Brock, they didn't say Logan. I'd go as far to say Logan was the best surprise.
Brock said he was on SmackDown 24 hours before Royal Rumble. He said he was on the show. So he was there.
I'm saying, like, if they didn't say Brock, it would have been better.
Oh, yeah, 100%. But you have Bobby in it, so you knew Brock was going to be there to continue that.
They didn't say Cody. Or they did say Cody when they shouldn't have.
Yeah.
Even though, like, everyone knew.
Everyone knew. But funny enough, he wasn't cleared until the day of the Royal Rumble, which was cutting it close. But, yeah, Logan Paul, Edge, Booker T, the surprise three, which I thought, you know, we thought Great Muda, like somebody from there. We thought those. The women's had more surprise returns. No, not a lot of NXT call-ups as well. There, which I get you want to focus on the main roster, but everyone knows the Rumble is for the surprise, for those one-off appearances, which I was kind of upset about. Like I said, not the worst. We have worse Rumbles in the past, but out of it all, I'll give it a 7 out of 10.
Now, the one thing, and you know I gotta acknowledge this, they are doing right by Gunther. Entering
100%.
At number one and lasting until the very end.
He ran his record.
Yeah, and then he had an impromptu match with Cody, because that went on for about like 8 minutes.
Dude, there were moments where you thought Gunther could win this.
Oh, yeah.
There was moments where you were like, holy shit, Gunther can actually... Even though it was like that type of environment where you're like, are they going to do a swerve? Are they going to do Jericho Sheamus, where we think Jericho was going to win it, but Sheamus came out of nowhere? Like, that was really great. And Sheamus and Gunther starting it off, too.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, that was like a perfect way to start the Rumble. That was great. 8 out of 10. I forgot about Gunther's thing. 8 out of 10.
I think we're getting Brock versus Gunther.
No, Brock and Bobby. No, it's Brock and Bobby.
I really want it to be Brock and Gunther.
I do, too, but they're saying that it's going to be Brock and Bobby, and it's going to be Gunther and Sheamus for the final chapter.
Yeah.
Before Saga.
That makes sense, yeah.
Give me
Sheamus going over, though.
I don't care. Just give me another banger.
Another banger.
Banger bros.
So, yeah, I'll give it an 8 out of 10 only for the fact the surprises, like what you said, were lacking. It was definitely a Triple H Rumble, because if you've seen like guys like Johnny Gargano, who are normally cannon fodder whenever guys like Brock, Braun, Omos enter the ring, it's like, yeah, there goes Johnny. But like he lasted a while. Gunther would have been eliminated early on.
Yeah.
But I'm happy. And it did things that helped building, like what you said, like with Gunther building him up as a star, even when he didn't win the Rumble, that showing alone just did wonders. I mean, it's great.
Yeah, and lasting for number one is no like easy task too. You're wrestling every minute. Really good. And didn't write anyone off like how in Vincent's Rumble somebody would go through a table to give them a breathing area or get beat up and they'd be knocked out for a couple minutes. Like, it was a nice chase of pants not to see someone go through an announce table and they'll be gone for 10 minutes. And
well,
come
the
back.
Logan Paul spot with Ricochet, too.
People were saying, oh, it's great, or Revolution. We had that Elimination Chamber a couple years back, so it wasn't that impressive. Logan
Carmelo Hayes and Ricochet did it at Worlds Collide a few months ago.
Logan Paul injured himself again during that, so...
He hit his head. He didn't tuck. I was watching the Impulsive podcast with Cody Rhodes this morning, and he was saying, like, all the wrestlers were telling him, like, whenever you roll out, tuck your head. And he didn't tuck his head and hit it. But apparently he's fine. I don't know. That's what he said. But what happens? Two different things. I'm happy with the Rumble. Cody going on to beat Roman or face Roman. I would assume beat him. And also, too, And this is the thing I wanted to discuss with you. They couldn't put Sammy in the Rumble.
Oh, no, after the ending? After that ending? No. Absolutely not. Well, no,
like, even because this match was first on the card.
Yeah,
with the ending. But I'm saying, like, let's say the Bloodline match happened and the Men's Rumble was last.
Yeah.
You couldn't have Sami Zayn, as over as he is, go out there and then have Cody in the same ring. Because then it'll be the whole thing with, like, they booed Rey Mysterio because they thought it was Daniel Bryan. You know,
yeah, no, it'd be like the Batista treatment where he would come back, Cody would get booed, and Sammy would get chilled, because that's what would have happened. Sammy would have been over Cody.
Oh yeah, he's mega over Sammy. Yeah.
Even though now there's rumors saying that they don't have no plans for Sammy at the main event of Mania, which I'm.
We'll get to that. Believe me, I got something for you. I guess moving on, like, quick little thing: the Bianca Belair Alexa Bliss match.
The sponsor match, your boy versus my boy.
That was the next thing I'm bringing up.
Jeff Hardy, Uncle Howdy, confirmed.
I thought it was cool, like, the paint, but, like, I didn't see the need for the whole match to be in black light, and that could have been his entrance. Like, you know, him walking down, and then the lights flash, and then it's, like, whatever he had going on. And then he had a second mask? Or, like, it was too much? Too much going on.
I hope WWE got a lot of money from Snickers. Oh, sorry, from Mountain Dew. From Mountain Dew to put this match on.
And then at the post, did you see the press conferences?
A little bit. I saw, like, Cody take a sip of it and put it back down.
I was like, how much did they pay for that? I need to know.
But they had it on the mat. They never had, like, their sponsors, like, on the mat, like WCW.
They created Arena or whatever.
Yeah, the holy shit. They better have gotten a lot of money for this. Have you tried the flavor yet?
No, I heard it was, like, grape, though. So, like, I'd kind of be down for that. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But the final spot of the match with Howdy jumping,
doing
the coffin drop onto LA Knight.
Missing completely.
To be fair, if you're doing a coffin drop, you're not having the best aim. And going from that high.
I just love how the animals, the funhouse, just looked down after the... It was so comedic. It was so comedic. It was like, you're like, oh.
Like, well, he's dead.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, do you think this is the last of LA Knight versus Bray?
I hope so. I don't want to see them on my screen after this match.
I feel like there's more you got to tell here, but, like, I don't think it should be another match. I think it should be LA Knight being, I guess, inducted into Bray's group.
He needs to be away from TV, though. LA Knight needs to be away from the TV and come back as Mercy the Buzzard.
Yeah. Who knows? But I don't know. I was all right with it. I know a lot of people like Bray's music, and this is me being critical of Bray. That's telling you something.
That's your boy.
Yeah. I don't like his new music. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. It's just whatever. Now, am I missing? No.
We did Bianca and Alexa, and then it was the Women's Royal Rumble.
Yeah. So let's move on to the Women's Rumble, and then we'll get to the main event. Before we continue the show, I wanted to take a little time to talk about Noom. Noom uses the latest in behavioral science to empower people to take control of their health for good through a combination of psychology, technology, and human coaching on their platform to help millions of users meet their personal health and wellness goals. A lot of people face pressures to change themselves to fit other people's expectations, and the more freeing solution is to find the things that work for you. Noom understands that everyone's weight loss journey is unique, and what works for someone else might not really work for you. That's why Noom's approach adapts to your lifestyle. It's flexible and focuses on progress, not perfection, allowing you to work towards your goals at a pace that's comfortable for you. And for me personally, that's huge. I know that I am not Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I know that I'm not getting up at 4 a.m. to go work out. But by using Noom and having that little more of flexibility and stability, it certainly helps with my journey here. Noom also makes it easy to start your weight loss journey and stay on track with personalized lessons that help you gain confidence and a practical knowledge. one-on-one coaching, and cognitive behavioral approaches that teach you how to be mindful of your habits. 75% of Noom weight loss users finished the program, and more than 60% of users that engaged with the program kept the weight off for a year or more. So start building better habits for healthier long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/believe. Again, that is Noom, N-O-O-M, .com/believe. B-L. Good amount of surprises. You know, I mean, grant you, like, Roxanne Perez.
Chelsea, you know, Michelle, Green.
Chelsea Green, Michelle McCool.
Who's literally, she wrestled in Uggs.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you have the stuff on underneath your street clothes. But Roxanne was in the Rumble for a very short time, apparently, because they didn't want her to get injured before
the match next week.
Vengeance Day. So yeah. There's that. That's funny. But she had a good showing. I thought she was good. And I was a little upset she didn't come out with the title.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, it's the NXT Women's Champion. It's like, great. Now, where's the title?
Where is she?
I don't know. But Chelsea Green coming back.
And being eliminated.
Very fast. And I think it was record time, potentially.
Yeah, and Corey Graves was like, I didn't have time to make fun of her husband.
Oh, yeah, that's right. No. She apparently is coming back with this, like, Karen gimmick, in a way.
She was on this past Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. What do you make of this? Do you think she has a good run?
Oh, she doesn't get injured again.
Yeah. Do you think this means Matt Cardona is on his way?
Night after Mania.
Really?
I see.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's a Matt Cardona moment right there.
Fair enough. Now,
that goes into the feud with Cody. The title.
Ooh.
You got to give Roman a break, even though I don't think he deserves that. He's been a part-timer.
In my opinion, we shouldn't. If the Bloodline loses all their titles, we shouldn't see the Bloodline until like SummerSlam.
But I feel like it's undeserved. For Roman, at least.
Undeserved?
He's part-timer. He's not on TV every week now.
He has like 800 days as champion and like the better half
days,
of that.
But 800 days. How many days was he on TV?
Fair.
How many times did he defend the title? He didn't defend it at War Games. He didn't defend it in December.
But like, what do you do with him after Mania?
SummerSlam, it has to be with Rock. Oh, you go for, I don't know.
You're not doing SummerSlam The Rock. The Rock is a Mania match.
I know. Yeah, you get SummerSlam. I think you do SummerSlam. But anyway.
But getting back to the Women's
Rumble real quick. Go back to the Women's Rumble. I say 9 out of 10. The ending was great with Asuka with the clap. With her.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, the clown mask or the face paint. Oh, like they... It was funny to watch the Women's Rumble because you can see Triple H slowly correcting everything Vince did wrong. Not that like Asuka was wronged in any way. I mean, grant you some of the presentation, but she was allowed to do
losing her match of Mania.
Yeah, like she came back with the clown makeup. I think that's Bianca's challenger right there.
Yeah.
No more Doudrop, Piper Niven.
Oh yeah, great coming right in. Yeah.
Great to see.
I love it. I would watch her, but granted, she will. Teardrop was out of TV, so people be like, oh, we forgot who it was. Yeah. So, yeah. But, it was good. Michelle McCool, Chelsea. I'll give it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I you know why I'm giving it a 9 out of 10. Because Rhea Ripley won.
My Mama Rhea.
Yeah, I mean, like, I like how they're coming back to the Rhea-Charlotte feud because, remember, we did the predictions for that, and I said Rhea should go over. Like, that should be the statement when Charlotte has had enough of wins. She's already like what 14 time?
Yeah.
Like 14 time world champion. Like it was a moment where you could have put a lot into Rhea.
Now it's catching up. Silly, naive Kevin.
I know. That was an older time. But now I'm fully confident that she's gonna beat Charlotte.
With Triple H running in? Yeah, maybe. If it was Vince, no.
Yeah. We don't want to wish that on anybody. But yeah, no, I think it's good. I would have liked to see her versus Bianca because that match would have been amazing. And Becky's not on the WrestleMania card, which I find very...
It's fine. Give her a little break. You need more than one. You don't need Becky on every year of Mania.
They would like to defer. Unless she goes against Bayley. They're building something there with Bayley.
Yeah, maybe.
Which, what she said on Raw Monday?
What she said on Raw?
They were like talking Becky and Bayley, and she's like, the only reason why you married Seth Rollins is because he knocked you up.
Uh-huh.
I was like, yeah, yo, like, relax. But, yeah, no, like, what are your thoughts on Rhea winning?
I mean, it's well-deserved. You know, she is getting pushed, you know, this past fall, getting it. Granted, like I said, I wanted Shayna to win Blazer because, you know, Ronda losing it, that was her friend, give that instant killer. But you take what you get.
Now, talking about the main event, I don't think we're talking about the match because the match happened and it was like a normal Kevin Owens versus Roman match is what happened after. The payoff to, and this is what they're even saying. They're saying this is the best storytelling in the past decade from WWE. And I would wholeheartedly agree.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
The long-term booking, not to even mention flashbacks from the Shield, poor Roman. Like, I grant you, he's the heel in this.
He didn't even sell that chair. He just got right back up.
But, like, how many times are you going to get hit in the back with a chair from someone you trust? Like, come on. Like, I feel bad for him.
His face said everything, too, when he got hit in this movie.
So, Sammy finally turned on the Bloodline.
Because they were murdering Kevin. They were literally murdering.
They were.
Poor Kevin. Handcuffed to the ropes after the match.
See, like, and this is what pay-per-views do, like, especially with, like, returns and stuff. They linger on the beatdown for so long. I'm like, oh, they're definitely hitting the Rock's music. He's coming down here. But no, it wasn't. It was Sammy. And, you know, I'm fine with that because...
And you see Sammy in the match. Sorry to cut you off. Sammy was also fighting. He sees Roman beating him up. I don't know why the ref didn't call the match when Kevin's head was hitting the steps. Repeatedly. That one I was just like, I saw Kevin protecting his head, but still I was just like, oh God.
Because it's the spike on the step. It's like the edge. It's like, yo, that does not feel good.
No. Not at all. But like that and Jay's reaction with everything.
All right. Glad you brought up Jay. Because the day after the Rumble.
Yeah, he Snapchatted. No, it's not Instagram story.
Yeah, Sammy. And I have a fantasy book.
No, not day. 2 days after. It was on Raw.
Yeah, so going into the chamber, we're going to get Sammy versus Roman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, before you say anything. Actually, no, go ahead. I'll say what I have to say.
So, back and forth match. The Usos can interfere, but ultimately Roman is absolutely clobbering Sammy, making an example out of him. Like, you cross the Bloodline, this is what happens. And he's sending the message to Cody, because that's the next challenger. This is, brutal beatdown. Send him out on a stretcher. Or, you want this to even be more heart-wrenching, have Jay turn on Sammy. Have the beatdown going, but then Jay is like, or Sammy's kind of crawling towards the ropes, and Jay pushes him back to Roman. He's like, no, I'm staying with my Bloodline. Could happen. Now, this builds like massive levels of heat for Roman. And he cuts a promo saying, you think Sammy would have got his moment over me? And he like kind of laughs as if to say, yeah, I'm going to let this chump get over me. No. Then we build to Rhodes versus Reigns. At Mania, the Bloodline interferes with the match, but whose music hits? And need I remind you, we haven't seen Sammy since Elimination Chamber. Sammy comes down to the ring. He gets one over on Roman, or I have written down here. But when Sammy gets to the ring, who tries to stop him is Jay, the one who turned on him. After a brief stare down, he ultimately lets Sami Zayn walk by, realizing the actions of the tribal chief and how he was in that spot before, and he didn't agree with what Roman was doing. Sammy gets rid of Solo. Boom, boom, boom. Roman is beat by Cody. Whatever. I know there's a lot of flaws in that plan, but it's ultimately you're keeping Because regardless, if we enter WrestleMania right now, everyone's going to want Sammy to beat Roman. But if there's a physical way to keep Sammy out of that title picture, I think you have to do it. They could go for the tag titles. Like the,
I was gonna say you wrote the Usos versus Kay and Sammy, but here's the thing. And we talked about this off air. Yeah. How we thought this whole Bloodline story was the Sammy story. But the Rumble showing Jay going out and he posting on Instagram just saying I'm out, showing that this is really Jay's story, how he was conflicted and all that. We could also see Roman beating Sammy up, and then you can have Roman versus Jay at Mania. Main event, Jay Uso come back, or triple threat, Jay, because we know now the titles are not being split up. It's going to be for the WWE Undisputed Universal Championship, which I hate. So a night two, you could do it, perfect booking world, have Jay versus Roman versus Sammy, or Roman versus Jay. And then the other night, finish that trilogy of matches with Roman and Jay. Because you already had two. You had NAM champions, and you had Hell in a Cell.
Yeah.
You need a third clue, and what a way for Jay to beat him.
I also would like to see, in between now and WrestleMania, Roman, because he did that little line to Solo, and he's like, we're at war, Solo.
Solo!
And we have, like, this road to WrestleMania. We have this road to WrestleMania kind of affect Roman in a way where he starts to become paranoid and off mm-hmm. his game, which would then, you know, kind of affect his championship match where he's not totally in the zone because, one, his family's turning on him, the people, his bloodline is turning on him, and then Sammy, you know, the guy he took under his wing.
Solo! Can we also talk about Raw 30? And how that whole Charles
Zane.
No, Charles Zane was the same thing, was just beautiful, perfect.
The Bellas didn't approve of
get out of here. You guys don't know how to wrestle.
I'm just amazed that they cut them because the Bellas are very popular.
Whoa, the Bellas, they want to show up.
See, I looked at that video they posted on Instagram and I was like, I don't know who to believe or what to do. But going into Mania, we're not going to predict the whole card. We'll do that as it gets closer.
Yeah.
Sticking to just Roman, what do you think the bloodline in general will be up to at Mania?
I want to say what I said, Sammy, RJ versus Roman at night one or two, whatever. Night one Cody has. Whatever night Cody is in fighting Roman, that's the night that Roman's facing Jay or Sammy.
The one problem I have with that is there's going to be a night one and night two match for Roman. Whoever beats Roman first, whether that be Cody going up first or whatever, it's going to diminish the second match because Roman already lost. This hasn't been pinned in 3 years. And it's just going to taint that. It really is.
Well, you know Cody's beating Roman no matter what, so it doesn't really taint. And be fair, Roman hasn't been pinned since 2019, so he can deserve getting pinned.
It's not that. Everyone knows like this is where everything leads to. But I'm saying as far as like, yeah, Roman. Let's say Roman versus Cody goes on night one.
Yeah.
That match happens, a championship match. He loses. The second night, he faces Jay or Sammy or whatever.
Yeah.
It takes away from the moment. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
Roman's already beat, like, the night before. And
then you put that in night one. You put that in night one then.
The family match and then the championship. But you're going to have Roman lose twice. Like, already lose. He's never been pinned in 3 years.
Roman's also going away, too. The whole bloodline's going away. You got to wrap up this storyline. If at the end of Mania, if all the bloodlines are going away, you need to give up. So you have him lose.
This would have been fixed if they just split the titles.
Yeah, they were 100%. 100%.
Then you could add Rollins versus Rhodes. Yeah. Final thing. Boom. There's Cody gets his moment. And then Roman versus... You could have given Roman versus Sammy or Jay.
Or both.
Like,
Yeah.
Damn. Well, yeah. We'll do our Mania predictions.
Triple H has been good, especially with the Rumble.
Well, that's the thing. WrestleTalk, I'm glad you brought this up, and then we'll close it out. WrestleTalk was talking about how WWE has a unique problem where they have too many good things.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you can never have too much of a good thing. Yes, you can, because you'll find yourself in a situation like this where it's like, well, Sammy is the most over wrestler and the storyline makes sense, but Cody just won the Rumble and you can't have him lose because he's the AEW defector and he came back for a specific reason. I'm sure that was on the contract. I come back, I get my championship, right?
Yeah, no.
He wouldn't have come back if it was like, oh yeah, you'll win the IC title a few times and smack you on your ass and head you on the way out, like, Hall of Fame. He came back not only to prove a point, but he came to win that world championship.
Yeah, because his father never technically did.
Yeah, and it was just the one thing that eluded him. And now you're saying the biggest star in WWE being Roman, the champion, the guy, face of the company, going against the face of AEW, you know, the prodigal son, the guy, mm-hmm. the defector, coming back. That's not, yeah, that's just been my logic for this whole time.
No,
if it was anyone else, I would have said, yeah, sure, whatever. Like, if this was, like, Adam Cole coming back to WWE, I'd be like, ah, whatever. Yeah, I was like, yeah, whatever. He'll do whatever he wants. But this is, like, it is a big deal.
No, it is. No, you're not wrong about that, 100%. But who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, I'm about to say.
Even though they said that they only see Sammy as the main event of Mania either.
Said that about Daniel Bryan. And look where we got.
Fans, hijack WWE, please. That's the only way now.
Flashbacks.
Oh.
But what you could hijack are more episodes of the Get Comfy podcast, Get Comfy Game Break, and Get Comfy Lowdown every single Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on all major listening platforms like iTunes, Spotify, and, of course, the Believe Network. I've been K-Lo, joined by the one and only.
What up, guys? It's Aim on the mic.
And we'll see you guys next time.
Later.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.